Good morning. Hope you have your Bible with you. You would open it to Luke chapter 14, verse 15. In this message, an important dinner invitation from my sermon series, Time with Jesus, Personal Meetings with the Lord. On my first business trip, when I worked from Miami to Latin America, I went on a business trip over to Europe, to Belgium. And on that trip, well, it's an 8-hour flight, and the time change of 5 or 6 hours. It was the first time that I had gone through that many time zones to travel. And so I was very tired. And I tried to stay up as long as I could, but eventually I fell asleep. And I got a phone call in the early evening from the front desk, and they said that I had some visitors. And I had no idea who it would be. I wasn't expecting anybody until I was picked up to go to the office the next morning. Well, when I took a phone call, the person on the other end was the person I was meeting with there in Belgium, and he said that they planned an evening to take me to dinner and some other things. And I just told him, I really am tired. I really want to sleep. I'd rather not. And he said, no, we have this planned, and you need to come. It's very important. We have this planned. And I kept telling them, no, I don't. I really don't want to go. And they said, no, this is for you. We've planned this for you. You need to come. And so I finally got dressed and changed and went down, met with them. We went out to dinner, and then we went to the other side of the country to a show, which was called the First Night of the Prom, which is a big annual special festival of music, and I had a great time, had a wonderful time, and I almost missed it. It was a night that was planned in my honor, in my visit to Europe, in my first visit there. They wanted to take care of me, and so they had this whole evening planned of dinner and a show, and just some special time, and it was all in my honor, and I almost missed it. We, listen, must step out of our comfort at times in order to receive the best. Well, I'd like us to consider another very special dinner event, like I had a dinner event, from the teaching ministry of Jesus in Luke chapter 14. Let's read the whole passage. Let's just take a look at that so we can have the context of it when we look a little deeper. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Then in the next verse, verse 15, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Was it an admiration of what God has planned? Or was it just the arrogance of his position as a Pharisee? Whatever, it provided the occasion for Jesus to tell a prophetic parable. First, consider the provision of the supper, verses 16 and 17. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. Hosting feasts and dinner parties was a common practice among men of rank and those of influence, of affluence. There are two calls to a banquet. There's giving of the invitation, and then there's the announcement that the banquet is ready. So it's the inviting people, and then telling them, okay, now it's time to come. The first call is an awareness that a meal is being planned. So, be prepared to accept when the time comes. Make your plans. The second call is an announcement that now is the time to come. Stop what you're doing and come to the banquet. There was a great feast to be enjoyed. God has an even greater banquet, an even greater event for mankind. A feast of fat things, Scripture says, where all of man's personal, social, and spiritual needs can be met. He is the host and has provided a gift of his love and grace, a feast of his kingdom for all who receive and respond to his invitation. A new life in Jesus Christ. How could anyone refuse to enjoy God's goodness? Second, consider the persons invited to the supper. Verse 16. He said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. Who were the many invited? Well, the Jews. That first call was a picture of God telling his people to prepare for the Messiah's arrival. The Old Testament prophets and John the Baptist all pleaded and were ignored. Then the call went to the Gentiles, and many came. There is a judgment for declining the invitation. Exclusion from the blessings of salvation. What is the picture here? Well, it's grace. The supper represents the grace to come to God through Jesus Christ. But accepting God's salvation requires repentance. Faith, turning from the world, and consecration. You must step out of your comfort to receive the best. And then third, consider the pretexts for refusing the supper. Verses 18 to 20. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I asked that you have me excused. And another said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask that you have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. It says, they with all with one accord. These people received the invitation, but really had no intention of going to the banquet. They made up excuses. Each one could have arranged to go to the events. How quickly and easily we can excuse ourselves. Listen, they just didn't want to go. There are two levels of imagery here in this passage. What keeps a person from Christ will keep a Christian from fellowship and spiritual growth. First, I must examine a new piece of land. Does anyone believe that this man bought land without seeing it first? Anyway, could he see it in the dark? Would it not still be there the next day? Since it belongs to him already, what is he really saying? Well, his investment is more important than the invitation. It's a sad picture of those whose possessions require all their attention and rob them of spiritual wealth or growth. The second one, I will be testing a new pair of oxen. No need is mentioned, but it is stated as definite and final. No apology for refusal, just intention. His oxen come first, and the feast has no claim on his time. It's another sad picture of those whose occupations, their jobs, leave no time for rest and leisure, and certainly no time for God. The third one, I am now married and cannot come. This one is so lame, it is ridiculous to even talk about. Banquets were not necessarily stag events. The host would have known he was recently married. So she would have also been invited. Sadder still, this man was so selfish. He missed the feast and he denied his wife a night out. How rude could he be? All three could have gone if they wanted to. But all were consumed with worldly cares. The gospel, many invited, but few respond. And then fourth, consider the punishment for refusing the supper. Verse 21. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you are commanded, and there still is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those who are invited shall taste my supper. The master of the house being angry. He reacted in two ways. First of all, he extended the invitation to those more grateful. And then B, he excluded the ungrateful. Rejection of Israel. But notice Romans 11, verse 5. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. In Romans 9:27, Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. The host of the dinner will handle a remnant of the invited guests differently, even though they rejected the invitation. In verse 22 is interesting. It says, and the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Many have come. Many have come to Christ, and still there is room. And yet the Master will not go back to the first. We often do that when no one shows. God, on the other hand, is displeased with those who insult His salvation with ingratitude. What's the point? When we pass from this life, the doors to the gospel banquet will be closed with no opportunity to enter. It's during this life that we accept the invitation to the banquet. Once we pass from this life, there's no more opportunity. The doors are closed. The banquet is shut up to those who have accepted the invitation. And then fifth, the promise of provision at the supper. Verse 23. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And in verse 23, then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Notice, the guests at God's salvation table, the first invitation was come. In verse 17. Now it's bring in verse 21. And then in verse 23, it's compel. What a difference. The first call was to the Jews. Salvation offered and rejected. The second call was to the Gentiles. Those nearby, the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, they gladly accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. The third call was also to the Gentiles, the outcasts, the tramps, the wanderers, all of the world's broken items. This passage is a strong call for evangelism, a call for moral compulsion. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in God, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." There is plenty of room for the worst of sinners. No one is too bad to come to the banquet. But there will be no gate crashers in heaven. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you come? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Are you surrendered to him in service, serving him as Lord? If not, what keeps you away? What excuses, what things in this world have your attention that is gripping your life and is keeping you away from a new life in Christ? You see, we all come the same way. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus." And that's because God loves us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves us, and that's why He gives us eternal life through Christ Jesus. How did He do that? How did He demonstrate that love in giving Christ? Well, in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get good enough. In our sin, Jesus Christ went to the cross. And we need to, with conviction, as we believe that Jesus died for our sin, we need to confess that and believe that. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with our heart we believe unto righteousness. Then we have to reach out and ask God to forgive us. For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you pray with me? Father, thank You so much. Thank You that You love us so much that You invite us to know You in Jesus Christ. That You invite us to come to this new life that we might have eternal life. Father, I just pray that everyone watching or listening to this message would see that need and would hear Your invitation to come to know Jesus, to give Him your life, to surrender to His Lordship, to see their sin and the judgment of it, and to come to know and believe that Jesus died for them and rose from the dead. And Father, that You would give them the grace to reach out and ask for Your forgiveness for eternal life. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I'd like to share something before we end this. In 1981, after many people sharing the gospel message with me, even attending church, going to Bible studies, I was invited to go to a festival, Jesus 81, 250 miles away from Miami and Orlando. And I thought about it. I didn't really want to go. I said that I would think about it. And Joanne believed that I would go. But I really didn't want to go. And when the time came, I was reluctant to go. About a month later from when I was invited. But finally, I went. Arrived there on Wednesday. Sat through much preaching and teaching and music that I wasn't interested in at all. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Saturday night, at the end of the last message, at the end of the festival, the preacher, about 11 o'clock at night, gave an invitation. And I responded, and Jesus Christ became my Savior and my Lord. I was reluctant, but I went, and I'm glad that I went. I received that invitation, and then I received the call
that it was time to go. I was reluctant, but I went. And my life is totally different because of that. I have a new life in Christ and the hope of eternal life. And then, about 18 months later, I received a call to ministry, to pastoral work, in September of 1982. And that brings me here today, after 30 years ministry as a pastor. That call comes. Receive that call. You don't know what is going to be the result of that invitation. Thank you. You have a great day.